broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendrick.
The Republican health care plan is this. Die quickly.
We said all along that one of the most important things in this case would be those that spent time.
One good thing about Barack Obama going to Copenhagen and arguing for the United States in Chicago is he is going to have to say some really very positive things about the United States.
You have been tweeting me.
Well, I hope you knew to use a condom.
World famous Phil Henry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. I mean, people may not like it, but we know what we're talking about here. And on this program, truth is our bitch. This is where all those pain-in-the-ass Republicans and Democrats and conservatives and liberals come to die. Slow, painful, and with a smile on their face. Coming up this hour, Nancy Pelosi. Sold, folks. No, Nancy Pelosi goes to the defense of this guy Grayson, this guy that stood up and said, you know, the Republicans are all trying to kill old people. Maybe they are. Maybe. So what if they are? Why don't you just get on with selling the bill, man, and quit talking about how the Republicans are the guys that are killing everything? Because you guys, first of all, you Democrats, you couldn't roll out this bill and explain it to the American people if you were talking about making pizza, man, if you were talking about boiling water. So don't play this blame game. Let's get this thing done, if possible. If not, then take away from the healthcare debate this solace. That there has been a pretty high level of education on this thing. Yeah, there's been a lot of screaming and yelling, but through it all, a lot of truth has gotten out there, and next year, this time next year, people are going to be smarter about this thing, and you won't be able to tea party their ass into disbelief or ignorance. So I think there's some good news there. We're also going to be talking about this Representative Ted Poe and his czar pitch that he did on Capitol Hill. He says there's too many czars. Now, there ain't too many czars, Poe. There's just too much of you, man. Too much of your hot air. You ought to hear. Wait till you hear this clip from this guy. It just goes on and on and on. And then conservatives always trying to find something, man. Something wrong with something. And Michelle Malkin, you know, there might have been a time when I thought she was sort of bright. And I don't doubt that she's intelligent. But she is the queen bitch propagandist when it comes to Obama. There ain't a thing that cat does. I swear to God he could come up with a cure for male pattern baldness or menopause, and she'd still have some problem with the guy. And now she's got a problem with him going and trying to pitch the Olympics for Chicago, and William Bennett weighs in with something stupid, which is surprising because he's not necessarily a stupid man. Notice I said not necessarily. Couple of things that you should know. Number one, what was the thing we were going to make? We had one other thing we wanted to say about Michael Moore. Oh, just so you know, he Fahrenheit 9/11, because we've been talking about the movies and what capitalism is to Michael Moore. He's got a film called Capitalism, a Love Story. Fahrenheit 9/11 made $111 million, I believe. And it cost $9 million to make. That means that guy pocketed some money from that film. Now, if that ain't capitalism, Jack, I don't know what he's talking about. Now, I know he says that it's unfair and that there needs to be restrictions on government and there has to be this and there's got to be that. You know, just make the movies, man, the way that a documentary is supposed to be made and quit putting yourself into the middle of them like it's another Borat production. Because what's the difference between you and Borat other than the fact that Borat's funny and you ain't? Sarah Palin's got a new book out. It's called Sarah Palin. It's called Sarah Palin, Going Rogue, An American Life, and it's already a million seller and the thing ain't even on sale yet. It is, apparently, it's already at the top of the best-selling books list on Amazon.com, Barnes & Nobles, a month and a half before the book goes on sale. It's a memoir from last year's Republican vice presidential candidate, and this baby it's going through the roof, man. People are going to be reading that book. Sarah Palin, it's called Going Rogue, An American Life. All right, starting things out here this hour. As you know, on the show yesterday, we featured some audio that I thought was pretty outrageous. Now, you know that I am a fan of the healthcare plan. I have to say that before I do anything else when it comes to a lot of the criticism we do of the principles involved in getting this thing done or getting it stopped, whatever the case may be, because automatically people want to say, oh, well, I see where you're coming from. You're just, you must be a, well, no, I ain't a, I'm in favor of the health care plan. I'd like to see it get through, but it ain't going to make it this year. I get it. I got a feeling, though, that this thing will get done. It's going to take maybe a couple, 3 years. That's the way I got this thing figured. See? I thought maybe it had to be done this year or was going to be dead in the water. It doesn't have to get done this year. It doesn't have to get done this year. I understand now, and I see this more clearly than ever before, that people have got to begin to feel comfortable with the conversation, first of all. Then they begin to feel comfortable with the notion of, okay, well, run that by me again about a public option. It goes like this. And then they got to understand what the difference is between taxes to roll out a public option plan and health insurance premiums going up, and nobody's asking your opinion at all about that. And then people need to understand what $2.5 trillion a year really is when we're talking about the expense of healthcare in this country, what the 10 years represents in rolling this thing out and in paying for it, a $289 billion deficit over 10 years. $289 billion deficit, folks, over 10 years. What's 10 into $289 billion? It's $28.9 billion. How much are we paying for health care in America today, every year? $2.5 trillion. Now, don't believe me. I dare you. I double dare you to look up those numbers. Look them up. Look them up. I ain't Glenn Beck, man. I'm going to stand here and say, trust me on this one. I know what I'm talking about, but you know what? I encourage you to do your homework. As opposed to just sitting there with your thumb in your mouth, staring bug-eyed at the screen and watching Glenn say that Obama's a commie, right? Go ahead and look that stuff up. Now, that's an important number, and that's an important issue. But you wouldn't know it when you listen to jackasses like this guy Grayson. He's a member of the United States House of Representatives. Alan Grayson, a Democrat from Florida, who thought he was being a real big man and a real tough ass when he said that the Republicans want you to die. Here are his comments, and this is exactly what the debate doesn't need. And then today, Pelosi, who has never done a thing to help this debate forward at all, she weighed in saying, let's move past it, okay? Because you know what? In essence, what the guy said is right.
The Republican health care plan is this. Die quickly. That's right. The Republicans want you to die quickly if you get sick. Do you want the Democratic plan or do you want the Republican plan? Remember, the Republican plan, don't get sick. And if you do get sick, die quickly.
Let me ask you a question, Grayson. Do you suppose in all of your self-righteous, sanctimonious
gay as hell
attitude, do you suppose you're going to need a few Republicans on your side? Well, you just lost them. You suppose you're going to need to maybe finesse a few people? Leave all of that stuff to guys like me. I'm the talk show host. You're not. I'm the guy that gets to say all of that stupid stuff. Me and Glenn. All right. In the media blitz following his... First of all, I want you to hear the rest of this. Today, yesterday, Grayson did offer an apology, but not to the GOP.
Last night here in this chamber, I gave a speech. I'm not going to recount every single thing that I said, but I will point out that immediately after that speech, several Republicans asked me to apologize. Well, I would like to apologize. I would like to apologize to the dead. And here's why. According to this study, health insurance and mortality in U.S. adults, which was published 2 weeks ago, 44,789 Americans die every year because they have no health insurance. That is more than 10 times the number of Americans who've died in the war in Iraq. It's more than 10 times the number of Americans who died in 9/11. But that was just once. This is every single year.
He's missing the point, man. You don't sell this using the emotional rhetoric that the Republicans are using. The Republicans are talking about euthanasia. The Republicans are talking about dead old ladies. The Republicans are talking about fantasies and hallucinations and incredible fever dreams like Marxism and socialism and communism. The Republicans are relying on panic, on misinformation, on disinformation, and when they need to, when they really desperately need to, out and out lying. That's what they're doing. And I don't think that there is any Republican out there that would, if they were looking into their heart of hearts, would disagree with this. They know that much of what they're saying just doesn't exist. But the Democrats don't need to do that. If you're supporting a health care plan that's a good plan, talk about the dollars and cents, man. Talk about the money it's saving people. Forget about dead old ladies. No one cares? I told you this last night. I wish the world was a different place. I wish we cared about dead old ladies. We don't. You got to be some kind of, I mean, you got to be kissing your own ass every night, man, and just, you know, wetting your finger and licking your eyebrows, man. You're so impressed with yourself when you're talking about dead old ladies on the floor of the House of Representatives. Get real, man. Start talking about something that's real, something that the American people can take home. $2.5 trillion, we're going to be saving a lot of money. You make everybody get insurance, your health insurance and premiums don't go up. You make it competitive, man, and maybe we can control the cost of this stuff. You guys start saving money. All right, here, finally, he compares the existing healthcare system in the U.S. to the Holocaust. Man, he really hits it out of the park here. Not.
I call upon all of us to do our jobs for the sake of America, for the sake of those dying people and their families. I apologize to the dead and their families that we haven't voted sooner to end this Holocaust in America.
All right,
I yield the rest of my time.
That guy realizes he got himself a headline. He realized a dumbass like Phil Henry's going to be talking about him. He was excited. He probably went home and molested himself after that speech. He was so thrilled with himself. Oh, my God, I got myself some FaceTime. It's national news. Now Pelosi weighs in today. Does she make things better? Naturally, she doesn't. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi defended Grayson today.
There's no more reason for Mr. Grayson to apologize than for, in other words, if anybody's going to apologize, everybody should apologize.
What does that mean?
But let's just, you know,
what does that mean?
It's been made. It's time for us to talk about health care.
Oh, God.
Typically, the Republicans would like to use this as a distraction from the fact that they have no plan. They have no plan to take us forward to improve quality, lower cost, expand coverage, and retain choice in a way that is sustainable.
All right, so if it's a distraction, and what we really need to do is get back on business, okay? So the Republicans are promoting a Holocaust, but let's get back to this bipartisan approach. That's what you're saying. In other words, if I just kicked you square in the gonads, and I said, well, you know, that's just a distraction. Let's get back to the prize fight, huh? Don't be mad. Sure, I just kicked you right square in the crotch, and maybe I meant it. But, you know, let's get back to the really important point here, and that is bipartisanship. I mean, you talk about phony as a $3 bill. In this media blitz following his controversial comments, Grayson calls Republicans Neanderthals on CNN.
What the Republicans have been doing is an insult to America. They've been dragging their feet. These are foot-dragging, knuckle-dragging Neanderthals who think they can dictate policy to America by being stubborn. And I think the time is over. We had an election. That's it.
And then Chris Matthews asks,
did you really write this yourself with a typewriter?
And then finally, he compares the existing healthcare system. Oh, he already did that. Here's Wolf Blitzer, who's agog and aghast.
There is no plan. And that's what I meant when I said the Republican plan really is don't get sick. And if you do get sick, die quickly.
But you're saying that Republicans want sick people to die quickly. You're branding all
plans.
So that's maybe they have no plan. They say they have plenty of plans, but if you really believe they Republicans want sick people to die quickly.
Look, what I want is for us to work together to solve our problems. I don't see the Republicans doing that. There's no effort by the Republicans to actually pass.
Oh, you're making a big effort there, brother, huh?
No whatsoever. They just want to stop everything.
Has any Democratic leader asked you to apologize to
no.
the Republicans?
No. You know why? You know why they haven't asked me? Because I'm saying what everyone else has been thinking, but no one else has been saying.
And so you have no intention of apologizing?
Of course. Apologize? I'm not the one who should be apologizing. They should apologize to America.
So this cat wants to work together. He wants everybody, let's get off of this kick. Let's work together. And the Republicans aren't working together. He just called those guys promoters of a Holocaust. He basically said their entire platform is
cat urine.
But he wants to work together. All right, we'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Have you ever heard anything more upside down in your life? That's going on every day in the United States Congress. That goes on every day in American life because we have been infected with that disease. I don't know. Maybe we're the ones that infected Congress with it. It's called, I'd like everything to be bipartisan to the point where there isn't any partisanship. And by the way, what party do you belong to? Representative Poe goes on about czars. What's a czar? What is a Representative Poe? We'll find out coming back in a world-famous Phil Henry Show. 877-876-PHIL.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
I am a clown.
Cat urine!
World-famous Phil Henry Show.
He ate my finger.
877-876 Phil, world famous Phil Henry Show. Failed to tell you this evening, because there's been so much going on, that we're on live streaming video right now as we are every night on our website, philhenryshow.com. The show is live on video, live on a webcast. You can see us as well as hear us, as well as smell us, as well as taste us, as well as turn us off if you'd like to. Also, we're on live streaming audio, available for download tomorrow. We have all of the archives of our show on audio downloadable on our website. We have archives of radio shows that the Phil Henry Show has performed going back. When I say radio shows, the Phil Henry Show has performed.
You have performed.
Right. That I have performed going back into the late 1990s and bits and clips and different character things going back even further than that. It's all available at philhenryshow.com. So join us over there, okay? Our number is 877-876. Phil, let's get to a phone call tonight before we clear out of here. Here's Don in Newport Beach. Don, what's going on tonight?
Hey, Phil. Great show. Listen to you every
Thank you.
Night. But with Mr. Grayson, he should be given a key to the city. He really should. All this.
What city?
Doing, whatever city he's from, in Washington, D.C. All he's saying, Phil, is what every other Democrat should say about the Republicans.
That's yeah, but let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. Do you actually want this bill to get passed?
I want a bill to get passed, yes.
All right. How the hell do you think it gets passed when all you do is piss on each other?
Well... Phil,
how do you get people to work with you to say, all right, look, you guys got a problem, we got a problem, we want to get this deal, what can we do, how can we get this thing going? When you stand up and you score brownie points with some jackass back, not you necessarily, Don, or me, but just some clown back home that's going to write a nice column about you in the newspaper, okay, good for you. Nancy Pelosi patted you on the head, and you're a good boy. But you got a bunch of guys over there that are Republicans that you're trying to get to work with, and they're pissed off now. They're insulted. You just accused them of promoting a Holocaust. You think those guys are going to even want to give you the time of day?
Well, it wasn't a great choice of words. The Holocaust word wasn't a great choice. But on the other hand, some of these Democrats need to really get behind something. Because right now, this Republican on hold do nothing with health care is just not unacceptable. It's just, we just can't.
Well, I'm telling you right now. The way to go, Don, is to sell the economic benefits of this health care plan to the American people. Not say that Republicans are causing a Holocaust. Not say that old ladies are dying and ain't it sad. Not saying that, oh, my goodness gracious. You got to take a page out of the playbook of the Republicans and say, here's how it is saving you, Mr. and Mrs. America, money. This is what it's going to do to help this country financially. This is what it's going to do to get this country back on the right. You know, why can't they do that instead of that usual bullcrap about, oh, little old ladies are croaking? You know, nobody cares about that. People want to know what's going to save them money. This cat's going on about Holocausts. Great. I mean, maybe it's going to get him, we've been talking about him, and maybe that makes him feel good. But it isn't selling the program. That's my only point.
Well, all I'm saying, Phil, is they want to take a page out of something. Take a page out of George W. Bush's playbook, where when he didn't have the 60 votes, he went with his own 51 votes, and he had a majority of the party. The Democrats have it. They have Congress, the Senate. They got the House. These people either get on this train or they get run over by it.
All right. Thanks for your call. I appreciate it. What is that thing, Jace, that we were talking about? It's called the – you remember? We'll tell you what it is in a moment. But there is a cloture, C-L-O-T-U-R-E, and it is a piece of legislation that was passed by the Congress that would allow a simple majority as opposed to a 60 60 vote plurality, or however they put it. 877-876 Phil, Matt in Topeka. Matt, you're on the Phil Henry Show. What's going on?
Hi, Phil. Thanks you for taking my call. My
yes.
question to you is there anything about the health care reform bill that you did not like, and how would you have changed it?
That I don't like about it?
Yes.
Well, so far, the only thing that I see in this bill that doesn't have the teeth that a lot of people wish it has, and I have to tell you, I heard the debate yesterday. How do you know whether a guy is a legal or illegal immigrant when it comes to health care for legal immigrants? Because legal immigrants are entitled to it if they're legal residents. And I don't know that it's a big thing, because I heard someone say it's never been an issue with Medicare or Medicaid. But it does kind of bother me that an illegal might be able to sneak in and grab himself a piece of this pie without any kind of ID. We can keep talking about this. We will. World famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, where truth is our bitch, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And it's such a freeing and marvelous thing to be able to just go at the news and go at events and go at the culture just looking for what's happening, right? As opposed to having to protect your ass because you know you're talking through it, right? I'll give an example of talking out of your ass. Yesterday we were talking a great deal about Glenn Beck, because Glenn was in the news because Bette Midler thought that Glenn was going to start a Rwanda-style civil war with a lot of the stuff that he pitches. Now, Glenn knows that much of what he says isn't true. You may not like what I'm saying, but it's true. No man can be intelligent and at the same time think that there are all these czars at work in the U.S. government, and they're all in control of all kinds of programs, and they weren't confirmed by the U.S. Senate, and it's all just a big plot by Obama to usurp the power of the people. No guy can say that and really mean it unless he's one of two things: a blithering idiot, or he knows that he's not telling the truth. In Glenn's case, he knows he's not telling the truth, because he's not a blithering idiot. But he's got people out there now getting all excited about czars. In fact, here is a guy on the House floor this week, Representative Ted Poe. A czar, by definition, is an autocrat. It's someone that rules the roost, someone that whatever he says goes, right? Well, no czar in the U.S. government works that way exclusively, but there's more. There's far more. How many czars do we really have? Let's listen to a guy that doesn't have the information at all. In fact, Glenn knows that he's not telling the truth. This idiot may think that what he's saying is actually true. This guy is Ted Poe, a representative from Texas.
Mr. Speaker, we have 44 czars in America, and the dance card keeps growing. The new czar for the day is the safe school czar. Add that to the AFPAC czar, the AIDS czar, auto recovery czar, behavioral science czar, bailout czar, border czar, car czar, climate change czar, copyright czar, counterterrorism czar, cyber security czar, diversity czar, disinformation czar, two economic czars, an education czar, energy czar, food czar, government performance czar, Great Lakes czar, Gitmo closure czar, healthcare czar, infotech czar, intelligence czar, Latin American czar, Mideast peace czar, Mideast policy czar, and the pay czar, regulatory czar, religion or God czar, science czar, stimulus czar, Sudan czar, TARP czar, technology czar, trade czar, urban affairs czar, war czar, water czar, weapons czar, and now we have a safe school czar. Who are these people, and what do they do? What do they do? Is this a shadow government? Since we continue to dance with the czars, it'd be nice to know who brought us to the dance.
But
that's just the way it is.
The only problem is Ted Poe doesn't really want to know, because if he found out, then he'd look like a jackass, and he don't want that to happen. Glenn Beck knows it isn't true. Glenn's been pitching this sewer, this chin sewer music for a long time, and so is Sean. Six Republican senators, in fact, recently sent a letter to the White House saying that the creation of czar posts circumvents the constitutionality established process of advise and consent. Republican Senator Bob Bennett of Utah issued a press release saying that czars undermine the Constitution, and Texas Republican Senator Kay Bailey Hutchinson wrote an opinion column in the Washington Post complaining about the czar menace. At the same time, many conservative pundits, and we mentioned a few, Glenn, Sean, I don't know if Rush is on this, because Rush isn't a blithering idiot. You know, Rush is not going to sell something that he can't back up. Beck, on the other hand, if he's going to get anybody on his show that disagrees with him, he's going to make sure it's somebody that isn't going to kick his ass on something like this, because his ass is completely exposed on this one, man. I mean, it is completely...
I am a clown.
...exposed. Well, let me tell you, is it true? Are critics right to be concerned with the amount of czars under the Obama administration? Do you want the facts or don't you?
Well, yeah.
You, no, not just you, the people listening. Do they want the facts or don't they? Or do they want to be comfortable living in the world of Glenn and Sean's hallucinations? Now, this research done by our show producer, Jason Rantz, in a word, the answer is no. Despite pundits like Beck and Hannity characterizing the so-called czars as shadowy under-the-table appointees used by Obama to dodge the usual approval process, many of them were actually confirmed by the Senate. According to factcheck.org, a nonpartisan fact-checking website, Beck often uses a list of 32 czars in the Obama administration. Poe claims 47. But 9 were confirmed by the Senate, including the Director of National Intelligence, the intelligence czar that Poe was citing and obviously does work for, the Chief Performance Czar, Government Performance Czar is what this jackass called it, and the Deputy Interior Secretary, the California Water Czar is what Poe calls him. 8 more were not even appointed by the president. The special advisor to the EPA overseeing its Great Lakes Restoration Plan, the Great Lakes Czar, is an EPA appointee. And the Assistant Secretary for International Affairs and Special Representative for Border Affairs, called the Border Czar by brain surgeon Poe, is appointed by the Secretary of Homeland Security. In all of the 32 positions in Beck's list, only 8 are Obama-appointed, unconfirmed, brand-new czars. However, there's more. Now listen. Even counting the erroneous czar headcount, 32, it's not even the most czars used ever by a president. The Bush administration had even more appointed or nominated positions whose holders were called czars by the media. The number, 35. Now, it is important to note that while some in the GOP are making false claims about czars, the Democrats are lying, too. The Democratic National Committee claims under the Bush administration there were 47 czars. This information is false and misleading because they're counting multiple holders of the same position. So the game continues. The dance continues. It doesn't matter if it's a representative from the Republican Party. It doesn't matter if it's a member of the Democratic National Committee. It doesn't matter if it's some hallucinating talking head like Glenn Beck. It doesn't matter if it's some borderline personality like Keith's Obersturmfuhrer. These people have no vested interest in telling you the truth. The EPA, the Department of Homeland Security, the Department of the Interior, the Department of Commerce, they make appointments all the time. And the word czar, because someone is in charge of an area of interest for that individual cabinet post, automatically means in the minds of some people that person has extra constitutional powers. Why, they don't even have to ask anybody to countersign the check, man. They just, you know, they can go right into the Treasury and get as much money as they want. Not true, not true, not true, not true. We use the term czar because we say that person has an expertise in this area. They are an individual that really knows what's going on. They can direct that area. Why do we trust the words of a talking head more than we would our own representatives? Why do we trust our own representatives when we could easily look this information up for ourselves, or you could tune in the Phil Hendry Show and we'll give it to you straight? Why is that? Because we have a certain comfort level with people that are going to tell us what it is we already believe, that will reinforce what we've already suspected is true, that will pat us on the head and tell us everything's going to be okay. You're okay. They're wrong. Sometimes being wrong is the best thing that we could possibly have happened to us, because then we find out where we were wrong and maybe we'll get the real information. The fact is that Obama, if in fact he's got 33 czars, which he doesn't, as we said, he had 9 that were appointed by himself, confirmed by the United States Senate, others appointments as advisors in other cabinet departments, not even as many as President Bush, God bless him. He had every right to appoint as well as delegate the appointment of people in cabinet departments. He had every right to do that as President of the United States. It doesn't mean, in the words of, I can't believe that a United States Senator like Kay Bailey Hutchinson, that somebody told me once, is a real class act, and boy, she's a cut above. Bob Bennett of Utah, I wouldn't know him if he dropped dead in front of me. These people are wasting your time and mine with these this nonsense. It's all about slowing down the process of trying to move our country forward. 877-876-PHIL is the number here, 877-876-PHIL. Let's get to a phone call here. We have Dave in Cape Cod, Massachusetts. Dave, what's going on tonight?
Phil, didn't the Supreme Court already make a decision that emergency rooms at hospitals can't turn anyone away, whether they're a citizen or not, whether they have insurance or not? Didn't that happen?
Well, that's the case. That's the case now. Yeah, that's the case now. But
so everyone already
if you're insured, if no, that's not true. That's not true.
Well, in a sense,
because if you have health insurance and you can go to a doctor and it is paid for through your insurance, you don't have to wait until your leg is falling off or your brains are pouring out of your ears going into an emergency room and you have a critical condition. Or you don't have to wait going to an emergency room when you're on death's door from swine flu. You've been to a doctor. You've had a doctor's care. You've had prescription medicine. And you are receiving medical care. And it is not a dire emergency when you get over to there to the emergency room.
Yeah, well, almost everyone that dies is under a doctor's care at the time, but that's just a coincidence. The other thing I want to
say. Oh, really? What about people that die in automobile accidents?
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Yeah. What about people that get murdered? What about a guy that drops dead of a heart attack in a parking garage somewhere?
A good point. I had an uncle that died after he.
What about a construction worker who falls off of some scaffolding?
My uncle's doctor said he was perfect.
Right. What about people that drown?
He had a heart attack right after the.
What about people that commit suicide?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Anyway, so what's your point?
And people in war. In Massachusetts, we have to take basically get your own insurance or take what your employer offers, even if your employer's plan stinks.
Well, then why don't you get your own?
It would be a lot more expensive.
Why don't you then?
I don't know.
Not go to work. Let me ask you a question. Do you not want to have health insurance? Is that it?
No, I want to have health insurance. I just don't. I don't know if I'll be fired at some point because my employer will be expected to pay too much for it.
Well, then why don't you get your own?
Because I can't afford it. I'm on a low.
Well, what do you mean you can't? How do you know? How many plans have you checked out?
My brother has a plan, and he's retired, and I know what he's paying, and I couldn't afford it.
No. How many plans have you checked out?
None. I haven't checked it.
Well, that's doing your homework, isn't it?
Yeah,
check into it, man. You should definitely do that, and you may find one that's affordable, and your problems will be solved. Here is Houston, and it's Juan. Juan, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. What's going on, man?
I'll just come and say morons, morons, and more morons. You got Whoopi Goldberg, where she was out there when Bill Clinton got elected, and you got two morons standing right there. You got one saying it wasn't rape, and then you got the other one saying that, I smoked pot, but I didn't inhale. Either way it goes, you did wrong.
It's true.
You know what I'm saying?
It's true. Yeah. I hear you, man. I think the whole thing.
Gay as hell.
Yeah?
You got morons.
I agree with you.
From Arkansas, and then you got more morons coming. I don't know where Whoopi Goldberg's from, but there's morons
Arkansas.
Everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, it's just morons to the left of me, morons to the right of me, man. I think we can sum it up by just simply saying
things are bad.
But you know what? At least you and I are around, Juan. We can keep this ship afloat for, you know, for a time anyway.
Yes, sir.
Sooner or later, we're going to have to wind up committing suicide because I just can't take all the morons.
I know that's right, because I know I'm a moron.
Everything's good. All right. Thanks for the call. There's one. That's a cat. That cat made more sense than anybody that I've talked to in, all night. 877-876, Phil Hendry Show.
I find him terrifying.
I thought the guy was, he was right on. Juan, thank you very much. Good call. We'll be back with the stories we couldn't get to on the world-famous Truth Is Our Bitch from El Pacifico, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Time now for the stories we couldn't get to from Wheaton, Illinois. We sort of got into this the other night. We didn't have a lot of time for it, and I think it deserves time. Authorities said a college student had been charged with breaking into an unlocked apartment of three women and rubbing their legs as they slept. Police said that when the women awoke, the man fled. But you mean he didn't keep rubbing their legs?
What a chip.
Yeah, you should have kept on rubbing her legs, Jack. You might have, you might have at least gotten a tip. Anyway, bond was set at $10,000 on Monday for the 19-year-old man who was charged with three counts of criminal trespass. Authorities said the man is a student at Kishwaukee Community College in Malta, Illinois. Assistant DuPage County State's Attorney Brooks Locke said three different women at the apartment complex where the suspect lived reported to police that they were awakened by a man dressed in all black rubbing their legs. No other contact was reported. The suspect was arrested early Sunday morning near the apartment complex. In Worcester, Worcester. I always get that. Worcester is the. Never mind. In Worcester, Mass., a Massachusetts man who stole a hot dog from another man sitting under a tree in a park has been sentenced to 18 months in prison. Thank you. Our next story. No, actually, that happened. Antonio Judd pled guilty on Monday in Worcester Central District Court to charges including larceny from a person, according to the Telegram Gazette. Police say Judd grabbed the hot dog in August. Imagine being the cop having to write the report on this. He grabbed the hot dog in August after flashing what appeared to be a gun in Elm Park in Worcester. And then the police report says Judd began to devour the hot dog, spilling mustard all over his shirt. They say when he was arrested later, he was carrying a pellet gun and a pocket knife. Reports show Judd had been sentenced to prison at least three times for offenses, including assault and vandalism. Oh, the poor guy was hungry, probably. I guess, I don't know.
Yeah, you're not supposed to take a guy's hot dog.
Well, if you're hungry, I'm not going to give the hot dog to the guy. I don't know. The Associated Press, Pasadena, Texas. Authorities say a Houston-area woman who was angry with her former common-law husband apparently fried their pet goldfish and ate some of them. Oh, my God. Pasadena, Texas police say it's a civil matter and no charges will be filed. The seven goldfish were purchased together by the couple during, well, happier times. Police spokesman Vance Mitchell says the man reported on Saturday that the woman took the goldfish from his apartment. Mitchell says the two argued earlier about some jewelry the man had given her, but took back. She wanted the jewelry returned. Officers who were dispatched to the woman's home arrived to find four fried goldfish on a plate. The woman said she'd already eaten the other three. Isn't that 72-hour observation time, man? It ain't like she did it in front of the guy. She actually went home and enjoyed it. In Gainesville, Florida, no one expects a zombie apocalypse, but the University of Florida is making sure officials are ready for a night of the living dead just in case. The school has a plan for responding to the undead on its website among outlines for dealing with hurricanes and pandemics. The exercise lays out how university officials would respond to attacks by flesh-eating, apparently life-impaired individuals. It notes that a zombie outbreak might include documentation of lots of strange moaning. A University of Florida spokesman, lots of strange moaning, could be any number of movies. A University of Florida spokesman says the exercise was written by an employee at the school's academic technology office to, quote, add a bit of levity to disaster preparation discussion. Yeah, go ahead and laugh, man. But Halloween's right around the corner. A Wisconsin tourism lobbying group is changing its name after realizing its initials formed a crude acronym. The Wisconsin Tourism Federation, that would be the Wisconsin Tourism Federation Group did a quiet rebranding in the month of July, changing its name to the Tourism Federation. What's wrong with WTF? I don't know. Oh, I see. Oh, big deal. To Tourism Federation of Wisconsin and updating its logo from WTF to TFW after it was featured on websites and blogs poking fun at it. Hey, look, WTF. Look at this. Look at this. Yeah. Anyway, it had no way of knowing 30 years ago that the letters would go on to take on a crude association, lead lobbyist for the group. In other words, people that don't know how to spell. Lead lobbyist for the group, Chet Gerlach, said Wednesday that the Federation made the change after the meeting of the common text message lingo was brought to their attention. FWIW, for what it's worth, officials say Wisconsin's tourism industry is a $13 billion business, and it grew 2.7% last year. And finally, in the United Kingdom, a would-be burglar failed to finish his crime after he broke into a house, drank a bottle of wine, and fell asleep on a sofa. The man stuffed items into a pillowcase before settling down with a full bottle in Milton, Cambridge. The homeowner tried unsuccessfully to wake him before calling the constables. Cambridge police confirmed a man had been arrested on suspicion of burglary and criminal damage following the incident on September the 22nd. Said a detective of constables, "We arrived to find the man on the sofa with a bottle of wine on the floor next to him, and after trying to rouse him, we charged him with attempted burglary after advising him." Or as they say in Great Britain, because I saw that wonderful series, Prime Suspect, caution him. Caution him. World-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Jason Rantz. Our technical director is Ralph Rodriguez. Don't forget our website at philhendryshow.com. We have all of our shows available in our archives for download. You can also watch a five-day archive of our video webcasts as well at philhendryshow.com. So check that out. And we also have years and years of archive material there. Plus, we're on Facebook at facebook.com/Phil Hendry and, of course, at twitter.com/RealPhilHendry. Until tonight or tomorrow morning from the El Pacifico, a very pleasant good morning to you.
Phil Hendry.
That's pretty good, Mr. Hendry.
Visit us online at talkradionetwork.com.